You're listening to Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell. This morning, Devon Smith, spay and neuter clinic director for Ohio Alley Cat Resource, talks to Thane Maynard about the organization's efforts to reduce the stray cat population.
Well, Devon, it is fun to meet you. It's fun you came down here in person. And, you know, in reading your bio and reading about your group, I've got to say, among other things, it's just mind-boggling because I'd heard of your group, you know, Ohio Alley Cat Resource, or OAR. And I thought, well, that's sort of an unusual thing. They must do something with cats. I mean, I didn't pay much attention.
Sure.
But to read that that came out of, I guess, originally O'Brienville Animal Rescue.
Right.
And I thought, well, that's interesting. You're helping cats, right? Spay and neuter.
Right.
Tell a bit about that.
Sure. OAR kind of takes a three-pronged approach to helping cats. So basically the ultimate goal is to reduce the cat population because we are nationally, we're euthanizing about 70% of cats in shelters. Locally, it's more like 90%.
And there's stray cats everywhere.
Stray cats, owner surrender cats, cats that are abandoned or given up by owners, feral cats that are born outside. Absolutely. Cats are everywhere. And so the goal is to address that issue in sort of three main ways. And so Ohio Alley Cat Resource does all three. We do what's called trap, neuter, return. Mm-hmm. So that's to address the stray and feral cat population, where we actively go out, trap cats, fix them, and return them. And so that's a humane way to reduce the population without having them euthanized, so they don't reproduce and natural attrition kind of get through the population. And then the second piece of that is low-cost spay-neuter. So we offer spay-neuter services at a very reduced cost, so that cost is never a prohibitive barrier to getting an owned or a feral cat fixed. And then the last piece is a shelter. We run a shelter that adopts out. Last year, we adopted about 355 cats. So those are stray or abandoned cats that we then find new homes for.
That's great. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Being in the wildlife business, I'm aware how incredibly voracious a predator a house cat is, especially one that is feral or really savvy. My goodness. Because even a big old fat house cat like mine at home could go outside and grab a songbird.
Sure.
But boy, the ones that are really willing to skulk through bushes, I mean, their body weight in chipmunks or other rodents, but especially in songbirds. Yeah. It's a bird feeder is kind of a stray cat feeding project. So they can be a problem. Everybody loves their cats. I have two cats. They're terrific. They really are. But they don't need to be outside as much as many of them
are. Sure, yeah.
Now, as I said, that's fascinating. But then I was reading your bio, and, you know, with a master's in divinity from Harvard, a PhD in ancient Christian history. And that's a career path to run a spay and neuter clinic.
Right, absolutely.
So what led you down that path?
Those are sort of two separate paths, and I'm sure subconsciously you could find where those two sort of converge. But
you have a flock, right? It's just not at a church. And your flock is cats.
I suppose that's true. Yeah, there you go.
Reverend Dr. Devon Smith.
I think
exactly.
In spite of sort of doing ancient Christianity, I think what draws me to the study of Christianity and what also draws me to conservation and animal welfare is sort of the same thing, which is a reverence for life in general. And that goes for songbirds, and that goes for cats, and that goes for people. And so I think that there is sort of a natural convergence there. That isn't what I did when I studied. But I think it all kind of stems from the same place.
But it sounds like even in those days when you were in Cambridge or you were in North Bend, you were involved with spay and neuter. So it isn't as if you came upon this last week.
I did not come upon this last week. That's true. I started out in shelter work. So I started out working mostly in sheltering and adopting out cats in Boston. And then when I was in Indiana, I got more into the trap, neuter, return side of things. But always kind of with an eye on how do we, I mean, we kill 3 to 4 million cats a year in this country simply for lack of space. How do we reduce that? So,
and you're solving it a bit by saying, well, let's quit breeding them. That's step one.
Right. Yeah. And really, it takes a very comprehensive approach. So OAR really tries to do all three. Mm-hmm. So deal with the cats that are outside, deal with the cats that should be inside and need to find homes but have been lost or abandoned, and then help stop the spread of the population.
Now, I don't know if OAR has a stance on this, but a thing that drives me crazy is once in a while I'll see a neighbor, if I go out jogging, and they put food out for stray cats. I'm like, oh, that's the last thing we need to do, because they will be bigger healthier and they'll breed more. I'm like, right. What we ought to do is catch them, not feed them.
So that's really part of the trap, neuter, return program is you're not going to be able to regulate compassion. And I don't think you want to. I mean, these are people with really big hearts who don't want to see what we consider in this country companion animals. So even if they've never been in a home, we still consider them a pet rather than kind of like a wild raccoon. We would think of that. And so we're going to sort of naturally be led to feed them when they're suffering or to help them try to shelter them. And I don't think we want to stop that. I don't think we ever want to say to someone, be less kind. But they do need to do it responsibly. And the responsible thing to do is to avoid having these fat, healthy cats that are breeding, fix them. You don't need to stop feeding them, but make sure that the cats that you know about, that you have them spayed and neutered.
Yeah. Well, I know personally it can be a challenge because at the Cincinnati Zoo, you know, we have 80 acres right in the middle of the city. And I'll look out my window often and here goes some stray cat going through. And because we're all good guys and, you know, a bunch of animal lovers, nobody, you know, is willing to shoot them.
Right.
And yet the vets hate that they're running around, you know, because it's hard to keep a cat out of something.
Right.
So they might get in one of our exhibits and eat an animal, or they would, if not, maybe even, you know, be a vector for disease. So, yeah it can be a challenge anywhere. As could others, as you said, possums, raccoons, and others are obviously running all around the zoo at night.
Right.
So I can imagine you're kind of a one-trick pony. Are you running the whole darn thing down there? You got to raise money, you got to do?
Oh, my gosh, no.
Okay.
No. I am a cog in a really well-oiled machine.
Oh, great.
I got to Orr about 2 years ago, but Orr has been around since the 1990s. And some of the volunteers in the shelter side have been there since the 1990s. The executive director has been there since the early 2000s, and she is fabulous. No, it's run by a board, and the board oversees all pieces of the organization. I am the director of the spay-neuter clinic, so I kind of oversee that piece of the puzzle. So, no, in fact, there are on staff at the clinic, there are about 12 employees, and then there are about 150 active volunteers, from fostering cats in their own homes to cleaning the shelter every single day. Really wonderful, active, and a really diverse group of people.
And you're also in the core of the city. You guys are in Madisonville?
We're in Madisonville,
Now, how do you fund this thing? I mean, 12 employees, spay and neuter clinics? I mean, I know you're a doctor of divinity, but they must have a doctor who's a veterinarian, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We have actually four different vets on staff, three that do spay and neuter and one that helps in the shelter. We have
That's more
veterinary
vets than the
technicians.
Cincinnati Zoo.
Isn't that funny? I don't think they're willing to work on the big animals, just the cats.
But we try to get our animals pregnant, not to get them to
There you go.
Pregnant.
There you go. We're in a different business. But how do you fund it? That's a question every single day that we're answering. In theory, the spay-neuter clinic would be able to be self-sustaining by the services rendered. But because we do it at such a low cost, at this point we're not. So there's a lot of fundraising. And then the shelter is entirely volunteer run. But as you can imagine, food and veterinary bills, it's expensive.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of fundraising efforts. We do events.
That's nice.
We do a huge garage sale in June that in our parking lot. We write grants galore. Private donations are a huge part of it. You know, we do what the zoo does, really.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Which is sort of beg for our dinner.
Naturally, I have to ask this. I'm sure everybody that meets you asks, are you one of those cat ladies? Like, you've got like 18 cats at
Absolutely.
Home. Yeah.
I am. I'm totally a cat lady.
You don't really have 18
I'm embarrassed
cats.
To say it.
Come on.
I don't have 18 cats. I don't want to say how many I have, though. Yeah. I have more than I should.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Yeah,
a soft
absolutely.
Touch. That's good. You really live it. You don't just go out and talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we all really
you
live it.
You take your work home.
It's true.
Yep. Well, listen, this has been fun, honestly. I think a lot of listeners might not be as familiar with Orr or the Ohio Alley Cat resource. I'll say the whole name, and spay-neuter clinic.
Thank you.
Out of Madisonville, but you guys are doing terrific work, and obviously it takes a lot of energy. They're lucky to have you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, heck yeah. Devin Smith, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
My guest has been Devin Smith from the Ohio Alley Cat Resource. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.